But your man's putting me back in. I don't know. I'm like I said, I saw red and I remember saying, like, you fucking prick, like, what are you doing? And then from then, like, my head was just gone. It's like my life's just gone from being, oof, I've lost everything, like, going from playing championship football to not playing at all, innit? It was everything. It was my identity. Like, it was my day in, day out. Like, tried to do it through football. And I learned life through football. But I want to kind of give back to the younger generation and tell them, like, this is what you need to do, and just teach them what academies don't teach them.
So maybe just start off just your upbringing and getting into football, and just tell us how that came by.
So I started off at Maybole when I was about four. I'll be honest, I didn't really...
When you were four?
When I was four.
What?
And I was playing for the under-sixes. So I was playing 2 years above myself, and I was actually doing really well. Like, I actually kind of was enjoying football. But my actual goal wasn't to become a footballer.
No.
I kind of got it in because obviously my dad was a footballer, and it was kind of to make him happy, if that makes sense.
I didn't, that at a decent level or something?
Well, he could have signed a pro in it, but obviously he chose the army.
What?
So I was kind of the next thing to kind of be in his footsteps. If
he's trying to live vicariously through you then.
And then I remember when I was at Maypole, I scored 157 goals in one season, innit? I remember scoring 16 goals in one game. And that's what got me a move to Blues, a Blues scout. I can't remember who it was. I can't remember. But yeah, he came over to me and my dad and was like, oh, we want to give you a boost on a trial and that. So I was then about five. And then went to Blues, and then that was it. Then I was in the academy up until 13. But I didn't want to be a footballer. Like, I wanted to become, like, sounds weird, but I've always loved cooking, innit? So I wanted to become a chef. Like, that was kind of my goal, but kind of playing football and that, like, I didn't expect it to go as far as it did, if that makes sense.
Mm. Wow. So, yeah, the amount of people that are like, I really want to be a footballer, and the 0.5% that make it, it's mad anything that works out that it's not even something you're particularly fussed about. But your talent's obviously there, isn't it?
I knew I was decent in it, but I didn't know, like, I could go on and play first team football. Well, as I said, like, I wanted to be a chef.
What was it like, judging school and stuff while being in the apprenticeship? What year was that then? So
I'm 28 now.
28. So was they doing classes and stuff as part of the apprenticeship, or was you still going back and to and from school?
No, so I wasn't. I got released at Birmingham when I was 30.
Yeah.
And then I was moving around, like, clubs in obviously West Midlands and that. I went to Villa, West Brom, Cov. And I remember I was supposed to get signed at Cov, innit? And then Blues wouldn't let me sign for them because they wanted compensation. So I kind of, like...
What, even had a relationship?
Yeah. So I kind of, like, messed me about. So then from there, I went to Wolves. And I was there for, like, a year and a half. And then didn't get my scholar. And I was devastated. Like, I thought, yeah.
So is that kicking the nuts then?
Yeah, because you go from your whole life, like, your whole childhood... Bearing in mind, I didn't have a childhood. Like, my childhood was just football every single day. And I remember, like, going in for that meeting and just being told, like, nah, I don't know what's going to happen for you now.
And you're about your 15 then?
I'm 15, yeah.
So it's a hard time life as well.
So I was still in school, innit? I remember going back to school and that and just, like, telling my pals, like, oh, no, I didn't get it. But then... It's weird because Stevenage rang my agent. And was like, oh, come down for a trial against Dagenham and Redbridge. So I went down and they signed me after the warm-up. Like, it's weird. Like, the gaffer, Darren, saw, she said, like, we want to sign you.
Yeah.
And this was after the warm-up. And I'm, in that game, I scored as well. And then from there, it kind of just went up. Even though I didn't want to be a footballer, I just kind of...
It had been done for Blues, then Blues weren't involved and saying I need a fee and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do in that warm-up? There's some really good stretches.
Done everything.
That was weird.
So how did that then progress to coming back here?
So I made my day, well, I remember being on the bench against Mansfield with Graham Risley, and he got the sack. So then I thought, yeah, this is, I'm going to go back down to under-18s and just be like...
He believed in you.
He believed in me at the time, and he saw something in me. And then Teddy Sheringham come in, and I think, I don't even know what happened, man. He just loved me, like, because obviously he was a striker, so I didn't even know I was playing off front at the time. Kind of just took a like in me, and then I was training. I got moved up to the first team. But for me, I'm the 18s, I was in the first team change room and that, and then it's weird, like, it's being that age, stepping from youth football and being in a scholarship change room to then going to a men's change room is completely different. And it's kind of hard because it was hard to adapt to.
But yeah, but
I remember late morning away, I got the call and was like, oh, you're on the bench. So then made my debut at the 80th minute. And then I remember my agent a few weeks later was like, oh, don't get your hopes up, but possibly a chance to go back to Birmingham, which I wanted to do anyway, because like I didn't really want to be away from, it was away from home, and I struggled being away from home, and because I'm a home person, like I don't really.
Mansfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah. And I remember playing, being on the bench like for a few games, and then I remember going into training, and then the gaffer called me in the office and was like, oh, yeah, you're going back to Birmingham, they've come in for you.
This is a show.
And yeah. And I was kind of buzzing because I was thinking, yeah, I'm going back home, innit? But in my mind, I was like, how? Like, how is this possible? Because they released me at 13, so why now? Like, why can't I've just stayed through the academy all them years? Why has it took this long? But in my mind now, like looking back, it's kind of a blessing in disguise because I had to go away and like
find yourself.
Yeah, learn to become a man in football. And Stevenage, I can't fool Stevenage. Like they're the ones that introduced me to men's football in it and playing in the League Two at the time.
Was he hands-on, Teddy Sheringham? Did he come to you and do some striker stuff with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, best. And every session, like, he'd always, like join in with us, like, shooting, like, we'd do D, all of that. And, like, he's just, like, a top bloke. Like, you could actually speak to him and he'd give you advice on how to shoot or how to pass the ball or how to run behind. Like, he was a nice bloke, and it was actually kind of sad to, like, leave Stevenage because I thought that could have been, like, the making of me, like,
yeah,
looking back now, probably should have stayed at Stevenage.
Because
I probably would have gone probably further, but things happen, innit?
And sliding doors,
yeah. Yeah, but I didn't expect to come to Birmingham and play first team. Like, I just thought, yeah, I'm going to come. And I was in the under-21s. Like, I got a six-month contract, innit? So then I come back, playing under-21s. And that was the season finished, basically. And then coming pre-season, I was with the first team. Like, it was weird.
What did it feel like, the difference in kind of style and standard going from playing first team to coming back down to the under-21s here? What was like the difference in game there?
I'd say it's, I don't know, man, like, because when you've gone from playing and training first team and playing with men and then you're going back down to playing with kids, like,
that give you a bit of an advantage, or not?
It would give me a bit of an advantage, but you kind of have to adapt to it. Like, let's say you get first team players that get bombed off and they're not playing and they need minutes and they'll go and play with under-21s. It's like that. Like, but I feel like it's kind of, you are ahead of them. Like, you can be able to teach them. Like, I'm their age and I'm having to, like, guide them in ways that they couldn't do.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you've got the experience.
Yeah. Our first team football, like, I can guide them in how to actually get there and what it takes. But
was there any first team players at the time that was that were bombed out. Because obviously you've got the young kids who are trying to get into the first team.
Yeah.
Then you've got the professionals that, for whatever reason, have been kicked down. So they like sulky then, don't want to be there.
Yeah, because they feel it's like they're first team players, isn't it? But they've learned a living through football. But we're just up and coming. Like, yeah, we're just academy players to them. But I feel like they're more, not big time, but they just toss it off. It's like, yeah, it is what it is.
Because that was Premier League at the time as well, weren't it?
Yeah. Top punishment, isn't it, for people who are playing up in it?
Yeah. Like detention at the under 21s. Mm. Yeah.
It is like a punishment.
Mm.
But then, yeah, it shouldn't be.
The, yeah, that's it. The juxtaposition of that is then these young kids, they're like, that's where I want to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think, yeah, put your arm around them, help them, but no, I'm just.
Yeah, it's like in the films, and it was sending you to be a traffic cop. Well, there's traffic cops there, like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Like, but they're like, oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, so how long was the contract you had with Stevenage? Going, was that a gamble then for the 6 month contract that the Blues had offered you? Did you kind of had a long term at Stevenage, or was that game by season, or?
No, so I was a scholar.
Oh, okay, still a scholar.
I was a 2 year scholar.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that I'd get a pro at Stevenage, to be fair, but I remember it was after like 6 months that they said, yeah, well, we want to offer you a pro league.
Mm-hmm. No, great. So tell us about 6 months after here when you get the call. How does it all work? How do you, like, give us an insight into how your agent contacts you, and how did you get the paperwork done? Do you go to the boardroom? Do you go to the office? What, or is it all done on email? What do you do? How do you?
Nah, so I remember like my agent like ringing me and was like, obviously, there's a possibility of going. But I didn't think that it would happen. So in my mind, like, I need to focus on Stevenage. And then I remember him coming down and we had a chat, had a coffee and that. And he was like, you going to Birmingham? Like, it's happening. So then I remember coming down to Blues and it just happened so quick. Or even the next day, like I was basically back in Birmingham.
I had to remove
everything from Stevenage.
I was going to say, it's like going, get everything down here to be like, is that under Rowett as well?
Yeah, under Rowett.
So right, made that decision to get you back?
Basically. But I don't know if it, because I think it must have been like Richard Beale.
Yeah.
Because Bailey was the 21s manager at the time. And obviously Bailey was my coach when I was a kid. And I love Bailey, like, he's such a good guy. And I feel like, no, but at the time when I got released from Birmingham, it was Mark Hopcroft, I think. And he's the one that kind of decided, like, he's not good enough. But then he was at West Brom as well when I was there. And he was like, oh, you've not got a goal scoring instinct. Just change.
Yeah,
pure shit. But yeah, it was weird, man. I just come down and just signed the papers. I remember, I can't even remember where it was. It must have been over there. And then I had a photo here, like with the scarf and everything. And that's when it kind of felt like, yeah, this is real. Like, but you don't really see that from going from the 21s, no, first year, and then coming back down to 21s. Like, it was only a 6 month contract. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Like, if I was on a 5 year contract,
then
but when you like stood a killer, you're like, yeah, like it's a bit weird. Like, it was a weird feeling, but that was like, yeah, it's real now. Like, I'm a Birmingham City player and I'm back.
I know what you're saying about the not being here since you was 13, but it's the whole changing of staff, isn't it? And whether your face fits, like, say, that lad, that bloke, being fancy for some reason, so he's like no, and then Bailey does, and it's the whole whoever's in charge, isn't it, and what tactics and what kind of players they want to bring through to think how they're going to play.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a bit of a shame that he didn't just
carry on
through, really. Yeah,
that's football though.
I was going to say, it's fickle, isn't it? You're looking now how quickly managers change and that, and then staff change and then players change. It isn't a long term. You can't play. It's not a job for life, is it?
Yeah.
It's not even a job for 10 years.
Career.
Yeah. Mm. So how? So obviously your infamous game against Wolves. Prior to that, so you, was it Cardiff?
Yeah, Cardiff.
Yeah, your debut. How was that? How did that come about?
I remember the day before, I was training with the first team, and on Friday you do shape and it. And that's when you'll know if you're in the squad or not. And obviously, if you're not doing shape, then it means you're not in the squad. And then I was in the shape, but I wasn't supposed to. I wasn't on the bench.
What's that then?
Like set pieces and doing stuff like that on a Friday.
And what a formation will be on the side.
Yeah. I remember getting a call on, like, after, when I was on the way home, and Beardy was like, yeah, you're on the bench. I was like, what? Like, you're on the bench, innit? It's like, you chose shoot. I was like, okay. He's like, prepare yourself, innit? Like, get to bed, how's your time, innit? I was like, okay. So then Saturday comes, innit? And I don't know how, it was like a weird feeling in my body. Like, knowing that I used to come and watch these lot. Like, I actually sat in the cop. And to know that I'm going to be on the bench, I don't even know, man. It was weird. I
comprehend that.
Yeah. Word. I still can't believe it now. Like, even though that I've played for Birmingham and I've played on St. Andrew's pitch, I was a fan. And it's weird to know that I played.
But you'd done bits in pre-season as well, hadn't you?
Before. Yeah, I remember scoring 7 goals in pre-season. And I think 4 of them for that first year. I remember scoring at Forest Green, Port Vale. I can't remember who I scored.
That Apple. Wow.
Apple Aroni.
Enjoying a nice ball of Apple Aroni, man.
I know, yeah.
So, yeah, so you'd been around the first team, you'd scored. Did you feel like you belonged there at that level?
I felt like, because going from Stevenage and playing first team football, kind of. You are kind of used to that environment. I wouldn't say I was ready, but I'd say that I could defo potentially do a job. Like, I knew that I was a big lad in it for my age. Like, I knew that I could handle myself.
Yeah.
And especially at the age that I was, like, even the first team lads, like, I knew that I could. Like, they're massive. Like, they're big. Like, every single day they're in the gym. They're eating the right foods. Like, I was just a baby to them, but I could handle myself. So in my mind, like, yeah, I know for a fact that I'm going to do a job in the champ. But
yeah, that no fear about you being...
Yeah, no fear, like, well. That's what it is. It's no fear. Like, I feel like as a kid, you can't have no fear in football. It's a short career. Like, it's either you want to make it or you don't.
Yeah.
And I kind of had to just adapt.
Mm-hmm. So when you get that shout in the Cardiff game, then strip off your going on. What's going through your head then?
Nervous.
100%. Nothing bold enough. Like, you're coming on in front of like 30,000 fans. You've gone from playing in front of scouts, or 10 people, to playing in a full stadium. Like, it's a surreal moment, if that makes sense. Like, it don't feel real. And then when the gaffer says, like, Jack, you're going on. Because I remember warming up and all the fans and that were singing my name and that, and it was like, I'm thinking, what's going on? Like, what? How is this happening? Like, how is this real?
Do you have to be like, come on, snap out of this?
Just, yeah.
I'll be straight down to the toilet and raw, gotta go and sit down.
I wouldn't be able to get off the toilet.
Adrenaline.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, that's the word that I'm looking for. It's adrenaline. Like, it's like a buzz inside your belly, and it's like butterflies. And then when the gaffer's like, oh, get ready. And then when you put on your shirt, you look at you. I remember looking at my shirt and I was like, oh, this is fucking mad. This is like, my name's on my shirt. I'm going to make an appearance in the champ on the first game of the season.
So you're thinking, all right, I'm in the plans.
I'm there.
Who did you go on for? Where am
I? Yeah, you go for Brady.
Was it?
Yeah. And he was a fucking player. I was like, you know. Oh, it's so skillful.
Well, he was that we hadn't had any money, I believe, for I don't know how long, and then we found $2.5 million for him, didn't we? Which was massive money for us at the time.
I don't know.
Was he a player, was he?
Unbelievable. Probably the best player that I've ever played with.
Yeah.
Like, technically.
He'd never quite clicked, did it for him?
Nah. I thought he would, though, because of how good of a player he actually was. Like, he's one of them, like, he could just do something at Anfield.
You think that about the Championship, though, don't you? The players like that. It's not the good, but it's not that game in the Championship, is it?
No. Is that raw? Is that raw talent? Like, you'd find in the streets of playing in the cage football. Like, that's kind of what player was, like, proper skillful.
Who were the other players in the team at that time that you were like, fucking hell, saw them in training doing stuff?
Reece Brown.
Really? I've always said that Brownlee's like probably one of the best technical like magicians that I've ever seen play football. Like even now, like he's so technical.
Did he go late?
Nah.
Nah. Where did he go?
I'm not sure. I know he's at Crawley Town now.
He's at Crawley now.
Well, even then he's doing well there. So
again, didn't he get the chance there now, really?
I don't think he did. I feel like he should have started every game.
But he was keeping him out.
Well, he was playing centre mid, wasn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
Or number 10.
Mm. So he's a hard position to...
I think it was Digger and Gleese, Stephen Gleeson.
Yeah.
And they had the two players that was...
I think that's a good hard standard to get into, isn't it?
Gleeson was enough on. He died was class, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, Digger's such a good player.
Yeah.
So leads us on then to Wolves. So talk us through that. Obviously, you've got the history of Wolves prior to the game against them.
Did that come into your mind? A Wolves done me dirty before you were playing them on her? Or subconscious or not at all?
Yeah, because kind of... Like, it is what it is. I remember on the day of the game, like, I remember I called a 50 bus to get the game. Obviously, I'm like driving. You know, I was on my own, innit? I got the bus to the game. And so I'm walking towards the game. And in my head, like, I'm thinking, I don't really want to come on in this game. Like, my head worked really weird. Because obviously I'm getting fans come up to me 24, like, when I'm walking 24-7, like, asking me, like, what's going on? Like, why are you catching the bus, this, that? And in my mind, like, I just wanted to focus on the game. But from then, like, I don't know, like, the morning, I didn't feel right. I knew something was wrong. So in my mind, I didn't want to come on. And then got to the game. Warrant was fine. All the fans and that screaming, doing whatever they do.
But the atmosphere was...
Yeah, the atmosphere was crazy. Even before the game, like before the game kicked off, like for me, it was a big game. Like my first ever championship derby. And it was a team against that literally basically stopped my career and didn't give me a pro, so it's kind of redemption.
It's a lot to process, man, isn't it?
It's kind of redemption for me, but I don't know, man, the atmosphere was crazy, and then Gaffer was like, I don't know, 10 minutes to go or something, and Gaffer was like, oh, Jack, get ready.
Oh, covering that's right, 7th, I think.
Yeah. And I remember literally looking to my left and my gaffer, who was there, he was the assistant. And in my mind, I was like, you prick, like, all right, safe, I'm going to come on and I'm going to do something. I'm going to show you, like, why I should have been playing for you. But
do you think that that feeling overrid a little bit? I mean, for me, it was a bit of a soft sending off. It was
never a sending off.
It was soft.
When you see people go head to head, like, I'm not being funny. Yeah, we both put our heads together, but fucking hell, I didn't fully nut him. Like, looking back, I should have chained him. But
I mean, if you're gonna go, you might as well hide in a blaze of glory.
It was like a push motion towards, wasn't it?
But being as hot-headed as I was, I just saw red in it. And
because it was innocuous for the challenge, it was just a bit of pulling, wasn't it? And
like I remember Cusack kicking the ball in it, and literally I've controlled it.
Quite fast touch.
And I'm turning, and there's my first instinct. I'm gonna shoot straight away, but your man's pulling me back, and I don't know. I'm like I said, I saw red, and I remember saying, like, you fucking prick, like, what are you doing? And then from then, like, my head was just gone. Should never have done it. Like, I know that I should never have done it because it ruined my career, innit?
Again, though, yeah. So, like Chris said, you've got this everything processed, haven't you? You're thinking about it as you're going. And even see him over there.
Coming in on the bus and having the supporters in your ear. And
you see him over there and you're like, yeah, man, and you're up for it. And you're like, the no fear of how old you were as well. And you could probably handle yourself in the street. And you're thinking, all right, this is what the gaffer wants. And then it's just spilled over, hasn't it? The first, like I say, it was soft. It was really soft.
I feel like the day kind of took, my emotions took over.
Yeah.
If I was in the right mindset on that day, anything could have happened. Like, but
I do regret the decision I made, but I was just a kid.
And like, that's the thing, yeah. You can't be too hard, and that's a big atmosphere, even for seasoned pros, that is. Because
yeah.
We talked to, when we spoke to Granger, every time they played Wolves, he had a thing with Muscat, and even O'Connor would be right, who can get him first, who can get the red. And that's professionals, that's seasoned pros.
Senior football.
Yeah. It's a big game, isn't it? And it traditionally, it's horrible derby. Obviously, Villa's the derby, but Wolves, it's horrible, isn't it? Yeah.
So and many other professionals have done it. It's just that, I mean, what did the gaffer say to you after?
So, like, you let the team down, and I remember being in the change
room. Is that what he said?
Yeah, I remember. I was in the change room now, and, like, he still makes me emotional in there because I know that that's kind of what let me down. And I was in the change room, I've gone in. As it's happened, I've gone out and I've kicked the boards in it. And my mind, in that split second, like, my mind was just like, oh, what the fuck have I just done? Like, I literally made myself look like a twatter. But being still a child, kind of had to deal with it. And even the fans are screaming like cheerio, and that pissed me off even more. And I remember the physio coming in. I can't stop punching the wall because I was like, my mind's just.
That's why you need an arm around you. You're a kid, aren't you?
And then I remember I was crying my eyes out in the changing room when I was on my own, and then all of them's coming after the game, and we lost 3-1. And they've all just hammered me.
Yeah.
Like, hammered me, and the gaffer was like in front of everyone, like, you've let yourself down, you've let the team down, and. I don't know, in that moment, like, you think, yeah, like, I know what I've done, eh? Sorry, lads. Like,
yeah.
I know that I fucked up, but yeah, I've got to take on the shit, innit?
Mm.
And then I was injured for fucking 2 months.
So what was that, Rob? Yeah. What did you do to your foot?
Was it from that kick in the hoarding as well?
Yeah, fucking booed the life out of And then,
so it's not just the sending off though that probably haunts, it's that after, because you could have maybe got straight back in,
yeah.
And the games can't come quick enough when you're down. So if you'd have gone on and thought, all right, and been fit enough to go on and get another chance, gaffer, and gone on and got a brace or whatever, or
but that's the kind of guy that I was. Like, I knew that I could come back, and I was always a good footballer, but mentally I wasn't good. I was probably stuck in my drawers, you kid.
What was your attitude like?
What, blues?
Yeah. Was it, because I just struggled to think. I mean, obviously the injury makes sense, but, and I'll be as early story as open as you want to be about it, but I just struggled to think sometimes that you got sent off and then you were just like, see you later kind of thing. Do you think that your attitude was a bit like, well, fuck it, or could you have, and again, you was injured, so there's, I suppose you're frustrated then, thinking, I can't get back in time, like, but...
It's one of them where I was frustrated, but I knew that I fucked up, and I knew that the only thing in my mind is that this is where I should be. Like, I want to get back fit. I've done everything I could to get back fit.
Yeah.
I remember Gary Rowe getting sacked, and that was the year that we had, like, fucking 6 or 7 managers in one season. Tip to check on it. I know it was fucking old. Because you don't know whether you're coming or going.
Yeah, the club was in a backwards.
Like you say, you don't know who fancies you and who don't, and who's playing what formation, and whether you fit in the style, do you?
Well, it's like, was doing well as well. Like, I think it was in playoffs as well. With Gary, and he was a top manager. I don't know why. I think it was the chairman and everything there. Did a bit of the bus stuff or whatever it was. But yeah, he got sacked and it just went downhill.
Because what was it? Was Zola after Rowe, wasn't it? Was it Zola?
Yeah, Zola.
Yeah, no announcement, no nothing. We're in the stands, and it was like the club were embarrassed by it, weren't they? And he came out, they didn't even say over the tannoy, your new manager. He just walked out quietly, went and sat down, like, that was all, massive white trainers on, yeah. Like Super Mario. Yeah, you're not even announcing to your supporters, this is our new manager, because they knew the backlash they get, because it was such a crazy decision, wasn't it?
Mm.
But what was it like then, so getting fit, and how was your kind of journey back to, okay, I'm ready to come back. What are we doing now?
So I come back from injury, and as I said, I've done everything that I could. obviously having physios at Birmingham, like that top quality physios, and they do everything they can to help you out. And I remember getting back and training. I was training with the 21s. I feel like it was kind of a punishment. But Zola was like, yeah, you will lose. So I was back and he completely changed my position. Like, I've gone from playing up front to playing cinnamon. He's like, you're not a striker.
And Zola said that?
Yeah, it was fucking weird as well, because I knew that I could play cinnamon because I was a cinnamon of Stevenage. I don't know where it come about for me to be a striker.
Oh, really?
Because I was a cinnamon of Stevenage. I could play holding mid, innit?
Oh, right, okay.
So that was another kind of a normal position. So I think, yeah, this is where I'm actually very good. Like, this is where I can play football. This is where I'm at my best. I remember playing QPR at home, sorry. And that's when we got beat like 4-1 or something. Mm. Something ridiculous. But Gaffer's come over to me, Jack, get ready. I come on centre mid. And then, I don't know, man, it was weird because he got sacked as well then. I think it was like, he had 3 or 4 games here and then got sacked. And another manager come in.
So you were about just getting in bed with him and like,
What was it? Was it Cottrell after Zolt?
Nah, it was Harry Redknapp.
Harry Redknapp, of course.
Redknapp come in and...
Surely it was like then, with his track record, you're back up front.
I was still training, like playing in centre mid, innit? But it was weird because I was supposed to go out alone, and they made the decision for me to go out alone. So they said that I need first team experience, and being a kid, like, you're like, yeah, I'm not going to throw my nose at it, like, fucking play men's football, I'll play men's football, innit? But he stopped me from going, and I was training and that with him. But I remember being on the bench and that once, and then he got sacked. I'm like, fucking hell, man, what's going on? Like, I'm literally... Every manager that's happening, I'm coming back in, and it's like you're getting bombed off again because you don't know what's happening. That's when Steve Cottrell come in, and he was like, he obviously took a dislike in me because he took over from Harry Redknapp, sorry, because he was his assistant in it, and obviously from my reputation of being sent off and obviously having a bad attitude. He's kind of like, no, we're not going to give him a new contract.
Without even getting to try.
Without even giving me a chance. Like, that could have been like my way of showing him, like, yeah, like, you give me a chance, I'm going to do a job, innit?
Mm-hmm.
Look at everyone, but clean slate.
Yeah, I was going to say, he doesn't have you all in the office one by one then and have another conversation. No,
not at all. He's just like, yeah, done. No contract. He got sacked. Gary Monk's coming. Gary Monk actually wanted to keep me. But because them lot already made the decision, they can't overrule it. So then that's like, yeah, fucking hell, gone. That's my Blues career done.
So that time, with being in there, the under-21s and that, did you play much with Bellingham and that as well at that time?
Nah, so...
Was he straight to the first team? And
he only started coming in when I wasn't there. Like, you knew about him. Like, you knew that he was a player. Even at his age, like, I think he was, like, 13... 12 or 13, and he's playing for under 16s. Like,
it's in England, so then.
Yeah, like, it's mad. Like, he was a pro before he was ever a pro. And you'd know about him. You'd know that he's going to make it. And fair play to him, he's done what he's going to do. But
you just sound like a victim of the circumstances that were happening down there at the time. But it was a mad time for everyone, but it feels like you've got the raw end of the deal.
Yeah, Blues was like, it was corrupt back then. Everything was going wrong. Like, no matter, you do something good, you win a game, and then Gaffer gets sacked. It's like a vicious circle going on and on and on. It was just...
But that's exhausting as well, isn't it? But you made the time until you get that relationship again. Right, okay, now this manager's coming, get to know them, let them kind of get to know you, and then they're gone, and then you got to do it again.
But I feel like they only went off my reputation. Like, that if they was to actually sit down and actually have a conversation with me, like, that. Sorry, but they'd know, like, I'm just a normal kid, innit? Like, I was just...
Mould me?
Yeah.
Into whatever you want.
That's what you always assume managers will do when they come in, though, isn't it? That they'll sit down and each person, each player, sit down, time to get yourself up.
We had after all the debacle, though, it was probably hard.
Didn't have time. Yeah.
It's probably hard to get
time. And we got sacked that quickly. We didn't have time.
Just sit down with everyone, did that?
Yeah. Four players in, they've been sacked. So what happens then? What happens at that point? So you're not renewing your contract. What do you do?
You're obviously pissed about it.
I'm not really pissed. It's like my career's done.
What's your agent sign at this point?
He fucked off.
Turkey.
He fucked off. So I don't know, being the contract, he was like, so what's happened? So like, you fucked up. Like, you don't have to tell me. Like, I already know. Like, I don't want to be reminded.
You have lost.
Isn't that his job then, to go and
but that's what I need.
Find you somewhere else.
Supposed to help you out.
Yeah. Gas you up, man.
He was no support guy at all. Like, he just completely fucked off. Like, literally fucked off. Disappeared. I was kind of left on my own. And I was like, I didn't know what to do. Because
you're sick of football, ballot.
I didn't know who I was. Like, I didn't know if I wanted to play football anymore. Like, is football for me? Like I remember putting on my social media and about part of my story, and this was part of it. Like, it wasn't just an escape. It was kind of me escaping from everything that's going on behind closed doors. And it's like everything just, as I said, like a vicious cycle just kept coming and round and round and round. And eventually it broke me, because even though I didn't want to be a footballer, I was there in it, and I did become a professional footballer, and I did make like something of myself, but only my own mistakes cost me why I'm not there now anymore. But
it's your own mistakes, and it's just rotten luck as well, though, isn't it? You can't be that hard on yourself that everyone makes mistakes. Rooney, you look at Beckham at the highest level, you've got players that have been petulant, have been sent off, have headbutted people, have kicked people. You know, that doesn't need to be the end of it, but so your run with Blues, with the managers and Blues at the time, you were just unfortunate, weren't you, that you were there at the worst time?
I feel like if that didn't happen, I probably would have gone on and done good things, innit? Because you've got a manager that likes you and believes in you, that kind of gets brushed under the carpet. But because I've got to prove so many managers wrong, and they're coming in and getting sacked, and it's got us like starting over again. Like, it's like you being born again.
Yeah.
But
he likes me. I have to start. Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. He doesn't like me. I have to start looking for a new club. And that was the joke, we had six or seven managers in the space of 12 months.
Would you even with that? Like, I know you're saying now, like, you clearly still fucking put it on yourself that it didn't work out because of yourself, but how small is a percentage of people that can actually make it as a footballer? It's like a lottery win.
I feel like it's like the zoo. You get the 1% in it. 1% of kids make it in football, and like, what happens to the other 99% of people?
Well, these days, this is where the clubs now have got the after football set up, haven't they? The education, the further development and training for the kids and that. So there was nothing like that at the time for you?
Nothing.
No guidance?
No support whatsoever. It was like, this has happened, and
we're PFR, isn't it?
We're PFR, fucking shit, man. Like, even now, like, I'm injured in it, and I've been going to them, and they're no help. Like, they say, like, you get support and that, you're here for a member for life and all that bollocks, but it's not like they don't. What do they actually do for you, like, as a person?
Dev said exactly the same.
Yeah.
Dev didn't come on and said, as an Asian footballer now, and these are gone playing football, go to them, they're just like, she was like, Bellingham or Ronaldo or stuff.
Oh, they're fucking helping out straight away. Well, because you're not known, and you've only played so many games, or you've done this and you've done that, they probably thought, oh yeah, that's enough, he's ruined his career.
That's mad though. That shouldn't play into it, should it? You pay your money, you should be treated equal.
Exactly. But
so let's go into you're obviously an advocate now, and I've been kind of looking at you for a while and just kind of research and stuff. Be speaking openly about your mental health, and I know we spoke about off camera that there's certain things, but speak to us about your mental health and how low you've been, and just talk us through it as much as you want to.
It's really weird, because I swore that I'd never speak about it because I don't want people to know in it, but
after Blues, it was kind of kicking the teeth at it, and I didn't really know who I was. And it really, really broke me. Like, it took me into a dark place where I probably never imagined that I could probably go to. It's like my life's just gone from being, oof, I've lost everything. Like, going from playing championship football to not playing at all in it. And yeah, I remember going to Scotland in it.
Yeah, you had a couple of, were they loans or were they?
Nah, that was like signed or signed and back for us,
yeah.
And yeah, that was off my own back. Like, I remember getting in touch with the club and saying, can I have a try at that? And
oh, so this is, so after your agent's gone, you've sorted this out yourself?
Yeah. I've gone down there and, funny enough, I've done well in it. But that's the thing, like, I could, it's no matter, I could speak, anyone can go and ask for a trial in it, but if you've got the ability to back your mouth, like, it's a different story. And
yeah,
I've gone there and I've worked as hard as I could. Like, I genuinely did work hard to try and, like, recuperate, like, just go again. Like, it's another part of my journey. And it was going well. Like, I remember Alan Archibald, like, he was the gaffer, and he took a like in me. I remember playing in the Betfred Cup against Green and Morton, and that was my debut for, and that was my first ever professional goal. Like, and it was a fucking worldie.
And yeah,
probably the best goal I've ever scored in my life. I'll never score a goal like that again. But yeah, man, it was, I thought, yeah, this is my turning point, ain't it? Like, this is happening. Yeah, you got fucking sacked. Steve Caldwell come in. Don't know if you know Steve Caldwell. Gary Caldwell.
Yeah, Gary's brother roofing down here. Mm.
He come in and we was playing in it, like, not playing, but coming off the bench, and I've gone from starting every game to not playing at all. I remember a bit being in Tesco, this was like December time. I was doing a food check. Got a phone call coming in to speak to you. All right, cool. What's going on now? You going home? Don't see you in my plans. Terminated my contract there and there. I was thinking, why me? Like, why is this happening to me? Like, it's like every single club that I go to, like, nothing ever works out.
And there was no drama with him up there?
No, like, I wouldn't say drama, but obviously you get pissed off that you're not playing and then look to lead to the lads and sort of fucking hell.
Terminated your contract?
Terminated my contract there and then got paid out. Didn't get my payout for fucking 2.5 months. So I've packed everything that same day and I left. And I remember kind of driving home and it, and just like breaking down in it, like even though, like, it still makes me kind of upset in it, but like, what's going on? Like, well, then, what do I do? Like, what's next? Is football for me? Like, should I quit? Should I give it up? And then, like, driving that drive home, bearing in mind it's a fucking long way home, and like, it's an eight hour journey, and I had everything in my boot. And I was driving, and I was like, you know, fuck this. I'm just gonna fuck the car over. I just wanted to end it there, innit? But I don't know, something inside me like, nah, you can't do that. So the whole way home, I'm just crying my eyes out, like, football's done for me. It is what it is, isn't it? Gotta get up and move on. And then I got home, and months and months, I was just locked myself away, like, won't come out. Was scared to come out. Like, obviously being back in Birmingham and that, like, playing for Blues, and
is that part of it? Then you don't want to be having to have people going, oh, where you been? Oh, what are you doing now? And all that. And
kind of wanted to just disappear, innit? Like, you don't really.
Was that the nice thing about being up in Scotland for a bit as well? Just a change of scenery and you're away from.
Oh, yeah, but people knew who I was back in, even in Scotland. Like, It's kind of crossroads. Yeah. It was a scary place to be in, and like, it was, for fuck it.
Is that when he'd, so your vices then, was that just you went to drink and drugs and?
Yeah, and that was a hard time, innit? And that was probably the darkest time that I've ever been in. Like, all the money that I had, like, I'd waste on gambling and fucking playing slots every day. And
on your phone?
On my phone. Doing everything that I could do, have money. I started taking drugs and got addicted to drugs, innit? And drinking, and again, I was still a kid, innit? I was still learning how to be a man, and I didn't really have the support there to kind of guide me in a way that, like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
so even coming back down from Scotland, there's no liaison officers or anyone that checks in with you, just as nothing?
Fucking no one. Doing everything myself.
What was your family network talking at that point?
Non-existent. Still is now. I feel like ever since I was a kid, like, it's been there, but in the wrong way. Not really needed me, or never really had them when I needed them the most, innit? Like, at my lowest points, like, I was on my own. It's fucking hard, man.
Like I said, we said off camera, we won't get into it too much, but there's certain things that made you think, well, I can't.
Yeah.
Alone, I can't do that. And when did you get out of that, and when did you think, come on, pull yourself together?
I don't think I ever really got out of it.
Because I see on your socials now, you're still struggling with it, aren't you?
Yeah, I struggle every day, innit? Like, but
it's a big thing, though. You've literally been, like you say, you've been there. You've been playing in front of 28,000, 29,000 fans. You know, it's a big thing. It's not something you just go, oh, we move on now. You know, it's understandable.
But again, you're saying it's all because of me, and I think situation dictated it, though. I think you're not.
But that's the feel. Like, I know when to take accountability in it. I know that I fucked up. I know that my career could have gone a different path. But
again, once sending off, you're like, that's harsh to say, all right, that's the end of it.
I know, but it's one of them where, if I wasn't to have continued with being hot-headed after the sending off, like, maybe my career could have gone a different way. But it's part and parcel, isn't it? Like, I've lived it. Like, it's happened to me, and now I can look back and say, like, no one can ever take away from me that I've ever played in the Championship. Like, it's probably every kid's dream to become a footballer, and I was in that 1% of people that actually made it. My own mistakes is why I'm not there.
So how did you get back into football then, from not wanting to be out and around people and having the struggles that you had? How did you get yourself back into actually playing then?
Kind of just looking on, like, social media and YouTube and watching videos and, like, missing him. You miss that feeling of walking out onto a pitch and kicking a ball. But I remember going to Highgate, step 6, fuck it, dog and duck, innit? Just to kind of enjoy my football again. But the maddest thing is, what people don't really see and understand is, every time that I stepped onto the pitch, I relived that moment in my head every single time. It's like it used to haunt me 24/7, and that's when I get set off every game. Like, it's like a ghost just is haunting me. Like, it's, and every single game that I play, I get sent off, thinking, like, this isn't for me, you know.
Call me arse, bro. But like you said about the aggression, that obviously set you apart when you were a youngster, though. So that was part of your superpowers, but it, that
you feel like
a bit aggressive, but then,
yeah, like, that aggression wasn't really aggression. It was just more of pain. Like, that's the only way that I could release that pain.
And I don't know, I mean, like, football, as I said earlier, football wasn't really an escape for me, even though it should have been my release. It was more of an escape that to get away from everything that's going on behind doors.
So how did the move come about to Gibraltar?
So I remember playing for Stratford. Dean Holdsworth was the gaffer. Christ, everyone knows who Dean Holdsworth is, ain't it? Oh, fuck.
Again, we had Dave Holdsworth down here, didn't we?
Since? Yeah. Fucking. And he's a madman as well. Like, he's on a level. And I was always thinking, like, should I move away? Like, should I just go and just fuck England off? Like, I've done what I needed to do. I've played in the champ. Like, now I need to kind of rewrite my story. My story's not finished. So I was like to him, I need to go, man. Like, I can't be here no more. Like, is there anything you can do? And I remember him, he's got links with Al Ain, innit? In, I think it's like Saudi League or something. And I remember him chatting to one of them, trying to get me into Al Ain. That didn't really work out. He's like, no, I can't get there. I got links in Gibraltar. He's like, what the fuck's Gibraltar? Never heard of this in my life. And it was like, you get to play European football. And I was like, all right, sweet. When can I go? Went on trial there and was there for a week. And for me, it was a different world. Like, it was, football weren't that great, but the lifestyle was unbelievable. Probably the best experience in my football career.
You said you started Spain with,
yeah? Yeah, I was living in Spain, so I was living in La Linha, which is just the border of Gibraltar. But that was tough though, man. Like, every time, like, you get a stamp, and you get stamped 24/7 every time that you cross the border. I remember one time, because they clocked who I was and they knew that I was playing in Gibraltar. They're like, yeah, you're not coming back in. So I got deported home. I had to restart the process again.
Why is it frowned upon?
Nah, because if you're working in Gibraltar, you're supposed to be in Gibraltar. You can't cross.
Right.
Because the Spanish government, you're only supposed to get 90 days, ain't it? And they're supposed to be in there for 90 days. And I was there fucking year and a half. So I was exceeding the 90
days. My lap, though.
And I was thinking,
popping through your Gibraltar kick.
Yeah. But I was trying to play off though, like I'm going in different kits, like going in normal gear, just, and then changing in the toilet to
my lot of glasses and the mustache, yeah, and the fake nose.
Yeah. But I remember one time, like, geezers is fucking, so they're ruthless as well. Like, they don't give a shit. They don't like English either. I remember having a fucking argument with one of these geezers. Geezer got his baton out and it's like, you, if I ever seen you come back into Spain, you're done. What do you mean you're done? It's like, just because you're fucking pulling out a baton doesn't mean I'm fucking scared of you. I'm going to play football. It's not my fault. I live in Spain. It's like, you can't go. So I had to ring my fucking the chairman. And obviously, because he speaks Spanish and speaks English, like, bilingual. Come there, I got back. And I was thinking, I can't do this no more, you know, like, this is long.
There's an option stage, but it was just dead.
I could have stayed there, but personal circumstances is why I left, but
yeah,
we were going up. But
yeah,
Gibraltar was fucking unbelievable, man. Like, playing in Europe, playing in Conference League, like, first time that we have, the first season that I was there, we played Dundalk. Played them here in Gibraltar, sorry. We drew 0-0. I remember I should have scored, man. I should have scored, and we would have been 1-0 up on aggregate, innit? To go to their place and, like, yeah, we could potentially get to second round. Like, they've never done that in the time that.
There's a full Magpies.
Yeah, Bruno Magpies. Went to their place, got bad 3-1, got popped. Literally popped. Just like running around like dogs. And it was hard, man. Like, is you go from playing, because I feel like Irish football and English football is very, very similar, because it's It's one of them where it's so aggressive and Spanish players
don't like it.
All fannies, look. You touch them and they fall over. Or you go through them and you smash them. They're like, you're the worst person in the world. But you do that in England, you're like, fair play, innit?
Mm.
But, yeah, man, like, it was kind of experience that kind of taught me how to become a man, if that makes sense. Like, living alone and cooking for myself and meeting new people, meeting new cultures and learning how to speak Spanish and that. And it's tough, man. Like, trust me, it's tough.
I'm revitalised, isn't
it? Yeah.
To be like,
yeah. Don't get me wrong, obviously I was there and I was lonely and it, like, it was a very lonely time in my life because I was on my own. But
you made that conscious decision, like, I'm going over there.
Yeah.
This is what I have to do for it.
This is what happens in football. It is, you want to make it in football, you've got to take sacrifice in it. And that's what I do.
Yeah, I said so we do a lot with the Chaval Lions though. And I saw message guys last night and said, we got you on. And he's like, is he fit? Because they're looking. But 28, now you enjoying your football now?
Well, I'm enjoying it, but
28. I mean, if you can stay injury free, you're in your prime. I'd imagine now. So
yeah, I feel like this is my first probably proper injury that I've ever.
Why is it? What you done?
Well, I thought I'd done my ACL in it and ACL like partially of it, but I had my results the other day, which is going like good news. So I can return back to football in it and return back to training. So but eventually, I think it's around 4 to 6 weeks that I can actually play a game again.
Why bear it?
Yeah.
Good.
Which I'm fully like happy about.
And you think that's a bit... change of luck in football, man.
Yeah.
Finally.
I know.
Even though it's not doing well there.
Yeah. And... do you know what? Stratford.
Yeah.
Stratford's in football. Stratford's probably the only place I've called home. And it's weird from like going from where I've gone and going to play non-league. Like, because it's such a family club and such a community club, like, they're the ones that put their arms around you, like, when you need it. And that's why I keep going back. Like, I've probably had fucking 4 or 5 stints with them. But that's because, not because I can't stay there for a long time. It's because maybe I need to go off and adventure something else. And they've always been like, yeah, if do what you need to do. If you want to come back, you can come back.
Big as well. It's,
yeah. And obviously the chairman's class, like I've always had a soft spot for him, I'll be honest, because he's like a really family, he's like a dad that I never had.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of to wrap up then. So let's say you can do it all again. What would you, or you could go back and speak to 18-year-old Jack Storer, what would you say? What would you do differently? Apart from the obvious. Or you'd absolutely smash him, but yeah.
You're going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'd probably say, don't be so hard on yourself, innit? Like, it takes a lot for someone to get where, to the top and... If you're going to make it happen, only you can do it, any, but don't take life too seriously because it can end at any time. And football's a short career. And like I said, if you want to make it, only you can do it, any. So just keep working hard and don't give up. Always don't lose faith in it. And yeah.
So just. Really finally, before we end, I don't know if we mentioned it on here, we certainly mentioned it off camera, the amount of supportive messages you're getting, the amount of kids that are messaging you now saying, what should I do, or for advice, and I know that you've messaged Marlon King, yeah. And you've messaged, you've got quite a few on there.
Yeah, I've got quite a few, from obviously players that I've obviously previously played with, but
yeah.
Some of them I've never played with, it's just me connecting with people and...
Yeah.
Trying to get my advice out there to the younger generation of what people don't teach them in academies.
I think it's super important.
100%. It is because I never had that guidance and I never had that support in it. And right now, these kids need that support because you get Crystal Palace that have done it. They're making a foundation of obviously to help people off the pitch and what beyond football and it. And you don't really get someone that will speak about their truths and what happens in football and what should happen in football. And that's where I kind of want to create a platform for people to understand that it's okay to not be okay, for one. It's okay to talk. And football is not the be-all and end-all. Like, you can have a life outside of football. And I've kind of realised that now. Whereas when I was a kid, football's my life. Like, it was everything. It was my identity. Like, it was my day in, day out. Like, tried to do it through football. And I learned life through football. But I want to kind of give back to the younger generation and tell them, like, this is what you need to do, and just teach them what academies don't teach them. That's basically.
And to be like, this is what happens if you aren't part of the 0.01% of.
Yeah, and what you
can do. They're a bit naughty sometimes, aren't they? Clubs can be a bit naughty and monopolise kids and
women. It's ruthless, isn't it? You look at the Villa set up with the youth. It's like a kebab out, isn't it?
Yeah.
And once you're gone, you're gone.
Signing the best player and signing two of his mates so he feels at home, and then binning his two mates off to embed.
Not just Villa.
No.
Academies in general.
Monopolised from 5 and 6 years old.
Kids are assets, aren't they?
That's exactly what I've been saying. Like, kids, you're an asset. If you're not performing well and you're not doing the right things or the basics, they'll bin you off. You can get replaced, like, so quick, and you can get found out. Yeah. And that's why I wanna teach them that it is okay, man. Like, you can have a life outside of football, and you don't have to focus on football and put everything in one basket.
It's a good, such an important message, because it is to these kids. It's everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they don't look at a life away from it. They've got a reality.
That's what you want to do as a kid, eh?
Yeah.
I'm sure every kid out there wants to be a footballer.
100%.
But it's not that easy.
Well, to be fair, we've had Glyn on before, haven't we, as well? Glyn Pennell, who is a chef. Have you ever thought about taking cooking seriously as a passion?
I know I'm a sick cook.
Yeah.
I cook all the time, and it's probably the best hobby that I can. It's so therapeutic as well. Like, I just put my earphones in and I just cook. Like, I just cook the maddest of stuff as well.
Don't that make it tight with it? Put your earphones in.
Hey. No, thanks, mate. Yeah. It's been class. And like you say, you're a bit nervous coming on about talking about it, but the message you've put across is super important. And yeah, it's been a privilege having you on.
Thank you for inviting me.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you.